Michael Gelb teaches at the famed Darton School of Business at the University of Virginia and the London Business School. I mentioned earlier that he leads seminars at various organizations, and those include such organizations as Nike, Merck, Microsoft, and DuPont. He is really, really helping the nation lead as he talks with these leaders and gives them the skills that they need, shares with them the principles that they need to develop into outstanding leaders. And one of the things that you point out in your book, Michael, is that one of the steps we need to focus on in leading well is humility.
Very much so, yes. It's and there's really good reasons to be humble, because it's so easy to misunderstand other people. It happens all the time, and we all know this. I mean, how many times in the course of an average week do people catch themselves saying, oh, wait a minute, I thought you meant, and they realize the person meant something different than what they had interpreted. Or, wait a minute, I thought we agreed we would do this, but then you did that. And they act so shocked and surprised, even though this happens all the time. So instead of just assuming that you've gotten your message across or that you understood what somebody else had to say, be humble, be curious, be open, follow through, and double check, triple check, and maintain that openness and curiosity and receptivity, because that inspires the same kind of qualities in other people. And then we have a hope that we're actually listening to one another and really communicating.
So part of this then is having the courage to be humble, because I imagine it takes some courage to risk seeming unintelligent or whatever the risk may be if we're double checking and triple checking to make sure we got it right.
Well, no, it's a great point, and it's one of the ways the world has changed in the last 30, 40 years, because 30 or 40 years ago, people just thought that leaders were these powerful, assertive, charismatic types who always had the right answer and never had to ask for help, you know, kind of like a John Wayne in the movies sort of thing. And it's fascinating, because I have a client in New York City in the construction management business. And one of the people who's senior in this company has been running these construction sites in New York City for over 30 years. So he was in the seminar I was doing on the Art of Connection, and he asked a question. He said, won't my people think I'm weak if I ask for their ideas?
Interesting.
And I just thought it was fabulous that he would ask that question, because 30 or 40 years ago, he never would have even asked the question. And I opened it up to dialogue in the class, and I asked some of the younger people, I said, well, what do you think? And they said, look, we know that you, addressing this more senior guy, know that you have more experience than we do. We really respect your knowledge. And in the end, we're probably going to do whatever you tell us to do, because you know better. They said, but when you ask for our ideas and you really listen to us, we feel really respected, and we feel engaged and excited about the chance to contribute and maybe help make what we're doing a little bit better. So we don't expect you to listen to everything we say in terms of having to do it, but if you ask and listen and seem to care about our opinion, we just feel so much more valued. And you could see it was one of the, it was a teachable moment for everybody. And so that's what when I talk about humility, I mean, this leader learned that he's perceived as more approachable, as his people are more engaged, and as he told me later, he said, and you know what? Every now and then I actually do learn something when I ask these people for their ideas.
Wow. So does that in turn motivate him to keep asking?
Yes. Yes, and this is what we want, is if you can create a culture where people are asking and listening and trusting one another, knowing that their opinions are valued, then you get people way more engaged, and you have so much more positive energy in the work situation, and it makes it more successful and a much more enjoyable place to work.
That's amazing. And, you know, you've said several things that have really, really caught my attention. Another one that you have said several times, and this time you said it, and I said, wow, I've got to ask him to talk more about this. You keep mentioning the significance of trust.
Yes.
What role does that play?
It's huge. I mean, see, now I have a personal motto about trust. I say we can trust people to be exactly the way they are. And it's our job to figure out how they are. So that's a very empowered way to think about trust. I mean, it's not just an on and off switch, oh, I trust you completely, or oh, I don't trust you at all. No, you can trust people to be the way they are. Having said that, if you create any kind of relationship predicated around integrity, where people are pretty reliable in terms of doing what they say they're going to do. So one of the things, we talk about this in the book, I always counsel leaders from all walks of life, say promise low and deliver high.
Mm, okay.
Because it's one thing to do what you say you're going to do. That's the obvious definition of what we consider to be integrity.
Yes.
But a lot of times people want to be, they want to be nice, they want to be generous, they want to be helpful, so they promise too much, and then they can't deliver, and then other people are disappointed, and the result is not positive. So I always counsel people, and I practice this myself, be really careful about what you promise to do. And when you promise to do something, just make sure you really, really, really do it every time. Mm. So think of your word as a sacred bond. And so, therefore, be very careful before you give it.
Wow. That is so simple, yet so powerful, and I imagine, to a great extent, neglected.
Oh, yeah. No, because people just, they want to say, you know, they try to please, and they want to be nice, so they promise things that they just have no intention of delivering, because it gets them out of what they consider to be an awkward situation in the moment.
Wow.
And a lot of times it's just because people don't know themselves. They're not tuned in enough. They're not centered enough to really assess what they're capable of doing before they say they're going to do it.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's what's amazing. I mean, all of the principles in the book are so, so simple, but it's a lifetime of practice and reflection if you're going to live up to these simple principles.
And I like the fact that you point out that these are principles that can be lived out not only at work but at home and wherever we have relationships.
Very much so. I mean, and they're really the same. I mean, humility in the workplace, well, what if we take that same attitude towards being a parent, towards being a partner to a husband or wife or whoever you're with. And have a genuine, you want to keep your marriage alive, have a genuine sense of curiosity about your partner. Don't just put them in. Nobody ever in human history likes to be put in any kind of box. Nobody
right.
likes to be categorized.
Yeah.
Every single human being wants to be seen as the individual that they are. So, can you do that with the people you supposedly love the most? Can you see them afresh every day? I mean, this is a huge challenge.
Yes, sir.
But if you want them to see you in a fresh way, you got to start by seeing them in a fresh way.
I love that. And that, in turn, keeps the relationship fresh, even if husband and wife have been married for 30 years.
It's just, you know, I mean, I'm married. I've been with my wife for almost 13 years. And, you know, here's the good news is, my wife, actually, she's busy now, but she could come on and give you a testimonial, tell you that I really live this. And you know, we have such a wonderful relationship because we both naturally practice everything that we're talking about here. We've been married together for 13 years. There's nobody in the world I'd rather have dinner with than my actual wife. Nobody I'd rather have a conversation with. Because we just are present with each other. We listen. We explore. We're open. And it's, you know, and it is a blessing. I mean, I do feel like I was blessed with a person who brings out all the best in me, and apparently she feels the same. But
yes, sir.
We don't take it for granted. It requires, it's got to be your number one priority every single day. If you're married, it's got to be your partner. If you're a parent, it's got to be your kid. Then you work from there.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, in The Art of Connection, the maestro of relationship building, Michael Gelb, also talks about the importance of being a glowworm, achieving the three liberations and more. I really encourage you to get the book. Again, it's entitled The Art of Connection, 7 Relationship Building Skills Every Leader Needs Now. Michael, could you share with them where to get the book and maybe some information about your website?
Sure. Well, people can go to my website, michaelgelb.com. That's G-E-L-B. And get the book there, all my other books, free articles, all kinds of videos. Sign up for our free newsletter, michaelgelb.com.
And I tell you what, it has been such a rich experience talking with you. I want to thank you for speaking with me today about the Art of Connection. And thank you so much for taking on this mission of training us, as many of us as will connect with you, on how to lead well, how to relate well, whether it's inside the home or out.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Quite welcome. Stay with me, everyone. Be right back.